So VBS, now pretty well with the adults in the room. So I found this video and I've got to show it. Bruce, go ahead and hit this next one.
All right, volunteers, gather around. VBS this year is very important to the mission of this church. Pay special attention to each one of these children because their families could be future giving members of this church.
What's vacation Bible school? It's pretty much like 5 hours of unsupervised time at the park, except everything now has to have a spiritual tie-in. You want to go climb a tree? We call that Zacchaeus looking for the Lord. Simon says, yeah, not here. We play Jesus says. I volunteer for this church for 14 hours a day and I have to eat the same ham sandwich and juice box as the rest of these kids. This is ridiculous. Oh, y'all want to go play freeze tag? I renamed it. Now it's called Lot's Wife after looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah tag. I don't know if the weather's going to cooperate today. If it doesn't, we will go inside and watch VeggieTales. Oh, gather around, kids. It's time for my favorite part of the day, dodgeball. This is a game that I'm playing. You better believe it. Each one of these seven balls here represents one of the seven deadly sins. You better watch out for wrath, because I'm coming. Hurry up. There's other kids waiting. Okay, kids, here's our next fun game. This one's called Foursquare. Well, a lot of people call it Foursquare because that makes the most sense, but not at VBS. We call this one Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. Let's get it started. One person on the monkey bars at once. I have to do absolutely everything at this VBS. Yesterday, I let the youth interns lead music time. They played Cardi B. The tax collectors are making money moves? Absolutely not. Hey kids, time to line up. We're headed back to church for arts and crafts time. It's just some old pipe cleaners we found in the nursery and maybe some popsicle sticks. We'll give them a glue gun, see if they can make Noah's Ark. Fantastic. Get off that slide. We have one rule out here at the park, kids, and that's do not look inside the volunteer library. There's Harry Potter in there, and that is witchcraft. There's no way these kids go to our church. I haven't seen any of these kids before. Also, we need a sermon series on discipline because these kids are out of control. I am this close with some of these kids. Nap time is gonna be 5 hours today. Vacation Bible school. You know what we should call it? Moms dropping their kids off at church for the morning so they can go to yoga and brunch.
We get stressed out, too many things going on, we don't even remember to turn the mic on. I don't know. But VBS is very important, and it doesn't work without you, okay? It doesn't work without you, so the more help we can get, the better. So I was asked by Trevor a couple weeks ago to speak today, to give God's word, and I haven't got to do that in a while, so Do feel kind of nervous, but that's okay. Just want to say, the book that we're in really opens your eyes. I don't know how many of you are reading it. I know you're getting a dose of it every Sunday, but it really opens your eyes to your relationship and that question of, are you a fan or are you a follower? When I was you know, studying and trying to figure out exactly where I was going to go with this and going with the book. It was interesting. I got to look back at everything we've read so far. And everything we've read so far is basically about making an honest diagnosis of yourself to try and figure out where you are and where you're at in your life. So we started out with defining the relationship. That was our first chapter, the first thing that was preached over. Defining the relationship. How many of you have the little fish on the back of your car? I used to, and I don't have one now, but I have a PHCC sticker on the back of there, letting people know that I go Pleasant Hill. But I used to have the little fish. Got the Christian t-shirts. Anybody got Christian t-shirts? Got some Christian t-shirts. I used to have the WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do? All that stuff, but that didn't necessarily mean much, does it? because I could have all that stuff and still not really have a relationship with Jesus. The next chapter was a decision or a commitment. I went to a lot of concerts, a lot of speakers, and you know, at the end of the day, they're standing up there and they said, it's time for you to make a decision. If you would like to make a decision, please pray this prayer with me. And everybody prays, and then 1,500 kids or adults stand up and they've made a decision. Great, awesome. But did they make the commitment? To make a decision is a step, but did they make the commitment? So the question for you is, did you make the commitment? If you've made the decision to follow Jesus, did you make the commitment to follow Jesus? Then we went on to about knowledge of him or intimacy with him. Do you know about Jesus or are you close to Jesus? I think it's probably safe to say that everybody in here probably knows about Jesus. You're here. If not, Jesus is the one and only Son of God. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus. But do you truly have intimacy with him? Are you close to him? The next chapter was a favorite, one of the favorite sermons of Trevor's. One of many, or your one and only? How many irons do we have in the fire? You guys have a lot of things going on in your lives? Is Jesus just one of those things? Or is he the thing? That's a huge question. Is just coming to church here on Sunday, is that good enough? The next one was following Jesus or following the rules. In the Old Testament, there was lots of rules. And when Jesus came, he came to let everybody know that while those rules are still are just and right, believing in him and having a relationship with him is what counts and how you get to heaven. The next one was self-empowered or self or spirit-filled. Are you all about yourself? Can you do it yourself? Is that all you need? Is you? Nothing else matters? You can get it all done yourself. I'm like that sometimes. Ultimately, that leads to failure if we try and do it all ourselves. Failure. So, I get to preach over the relationship defined. What does it mean to have a true relationship with Christ? To answer that question, are you a fan or are you a follower? We're going to do this. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 7 today. So if you got your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 7. I got a couple verses I'm going to throw up on the list. I'm not going to throw up on it. That was a good one. And in the book, when I read the book, Kyle told a story about him traveling to and from places, and one time he got lost. And he got lost because he missed a turn. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, I think Trevor actually read this a couple weeks ago, said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many may enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and few find it." So the analogy of actually, I guess, being lost because of making a wrong turn. We've probably all been there at one time or another. The question is it possible to be on the wide road and think you're on the narrow road the whole time? Can you think you're doing good things, but actually you're not? Actually you're on that road to destruction? I mean, that's a question we all need to ask. Kyle even went on to say, and I have to bring this up, because if you haven't read the book, this is a great point, that he wouldn't be surprised if Jesus said a few will stand before God on Judgment Day. But that's not what he says, is it? Did you guys know that? That's not what he says. Let's go to the next chapter. Next slide. still Matthew chapter 7. Move to verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or does and will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So, of course, this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's very important to understand that Jesus is really trying to get the people here to let them know that you might think you've got it, and you might be able to do some great things, but you really don't. And it's because of the relationship. There were three questions given in the book. The first question is, does your life reflect what you say and believe? When you leave this place, does your life reflect it? That you believe in Jesus. That has a lot to do with your actions and how you live, right? So it's really a tough thing to think about. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So when I say, Lord, Lord, I'm acknowledging that there is a God, right? I am acknowledging this. I'm acknowledging Jesus. But at that point, that's all I'm doing, is acknowledging. There's lots of things that we as Americans acknowledge. Lots. How many of you ever said you're going to go on a diet? I wish my wife was in here, because we've been working on doing this carb thing. Carb thing, and then, which was really great. You know, we're going to eat low carb and everything. We went to Sonic the other day. It was like 8:30 at night. It was a good idea. Going to do the low carb thing. I was getting a Diet Dr. Pepper, and she was getting an ice water. We pull up, and the lady says, the car before you ordered a cheesecake shake, and we accidentally made a Oreo cheesecake shake. Would you like this one? Do you think I turned that baby down? We both partook of that. So we can say a lot of things, right? But are we actually doing them? I mean, in the book, Kyle, he talks about people going on diets, and then, but the favorite thing in the United States is the cheeseburger. That might be my favorite food also, is to have a cheeseburger. So it's important. He also made a great analogy about a family person. A man could say that he wants to be a family man, right? Wants to be a family man, but what does it say if that same family man takes a job that takes more time away from his family? That was a big point, right? If you're going to be a family man. So we have to put our faith in God. I believe that we're saved by God's grace. Amen? Amen? All right? When we put our faith in Him, we're saved by God's grace. And it's more than confessing with your mouth. We have to actually confess it with our lives. Okay? The things that we say and do, they do matter. The way that we live matters. But it's not the only thing that matters. So we should live the way Jesus wants us to live. I'm going to turn real quick to Galatians chapter 5. It talks about how we shouldn't live. So let's turn there real fast. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to look at verse 19. It says, these are the acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as like before, those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Lying, cheating, stealing. There's lots of things I could say there. But the letter to the Galatians is pretty serious. And I can say a lot of those things that I just read, they're on the news when you turn your TV on. If you live like any of those, you probably need to really, 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 really evaluate your relationship. Very important that we stay away from those things. Those of you that say, Lord, Lord, Bruce, can we go back to that Matthew chapter 7 slide? Lord, Lord, you're acknowledging Christ. You shouldn't be doing those things. But let me ask this. I mean, I said some pretty serious things from Galatians chapter 5. How many of you ever took in the Lord's name in vain? How many of you ever watched a video or a movie that had took the Lord's name in vain? What did you do there? Have you ever saw somebody that was in need and not helped them when you had the opportunity and ability to help them? What if a friend needed clothes? And I bring that up because I know we have this big share what you wear thing. There's a tractor trailer load of clothes in our, not only in our shed, but in the building over there still. So I know we're trying to help clothe people as a group, but what about you yourself? Have you ever had the opportunity to clothe someone, but you just didn't take action? So does your life reflect what you say you believe? James chapter 2. Verses 14 through 16. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Kind of speaks straight to you, right? If you have the opportunity to help and you don't, really what good is it? Are you really living out your faith? Are you living out what you say you believe? And it goes on to say, if I read the very next verse, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied with action, is dead. So we say having faith is enough. But if you have faith and you're not moving, you're not getting anything done. You're basically dead. The next question was, do you think you're on the right road because of the things you've done? You ever thought that? Man, I do great things. I do awesome things. If I go back to the verse here, let's go to 22. Many will say to me, Lord, on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and perform many miracles? I'm going to tell you what, just that verse right there is pretty interesting to me. How many of you have driven out a demon? Anybody? Anybody in here performed a miracle? Adam, you performed a miracle?
Today.
Not today. What about prophesy? Now, these are big things. God moved talents. It's an impressive list. It's kind of, but it's not like what we would say. I mean, if we're going to say we're a Christian, we might say things like, I go to church. I work at VBS. I went on a mission trip. I tithe. There was a guy on the street that needed food. I brought him food. Those are the things we might say, right? I donated clothes to the Share What You Wear to help the people in need. Those are things we might say, right? Not really to the same thing as driving out a demon, performing miracles, or prophesying. Pretty big difference there. The fact is, it's really what you say and do is important, okay? All the things that I just said were important. But if they don't reflect the next question I'm about to ask, then they're nothing. And that question is, do I know Jesus and does he know me? And that's where this whole thing's been going ever since we started. Do you know Jesus and does Jesus know you? If I look at verse 23 up here, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's pretty harsh, but true. I never knew you. How do we know Jesus, and how do we get Jesus to know us? That's a question, right? How many of you would like to have that answered? How do you get to know Jesus better, and how does Jesus know you? I would hope that everybody wants to know that. And it comes from that intimate relationship. Now, in the book, they talked about this, and I'm probably in the same boat. I'm really bad about this. When I go to a restaurant, I'm always facing the TV, watching whatever's on SportsCenter or whatever's on. Not really paying attention to too much of what my wife says sometimes, because in fact she'll even have complete conversations. I'll have no clue what she said. And the same thing could probably even happen in my car if I'm listening to the radio, because I'm pretty good at tuning her out. But that's not the way to develop an intimate relationship with someone. It's about being able to listen. In the book, Kyle gave an analogy of that same thing, yet one time he noticed while he was at a restaurant that there was an older couple that had it figured out, where they was sitting over at a corner table, and at that corner table, there was not a word said. But they was completely focused on each other and what they was doing. Very little said, because they had that intimate relationship. They were perfectly happy doing what they was doing. Without any distraction. I think it's important for us to understand that we have to have that intimate time with Christ daily. As many times a day as we can, where we're just alone with Him, where we're reading His Word, where we're speaking to Him, that intimate relationship. Now, I believe we're saved through saved by grace through faith. I believe that. I believe also it's God alone who can keep us from falling. And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I believe those things. But I also believe that there's some, maybe even some in this room, that believe they're saved, but they're really not. And that's a tough, tough thing. But it's the truth. Because they're fans, they're not followers. Now, the main thing to think of here is as you're living your life, First, you need to define exactly what you believe. If you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God, and he died on that cross for you and everybody else in this room, shouldn't that affect the way that you live? It should affect the way that you live. It should affect the things you do. It should affect the next decision that you make today. Right? I will be the first to say that there are many times that I let me affect the decisions that I make and not Jesus. Many, many times. And something that I need to work on is this very statement of letting Jesus affect the way that I think and help make decisions for me. There's been times that I've went and watched movies that I shouldn't have watched because it just wasn't what Jesus would have wanted me to do. But I wasn't thinking about Jesus at that time. I was thinking about myself. And I'm going to tell you this, that Jesus wants all of you, or literally nothing. Now, how do I know that? I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these are the words of men, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy gold refined by fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you may see. Lukewarm. Kind of sounds like a fan to me. A person that says they know Jesus, that raises their hands at the Christian concerts, that just shows up on Sunday and you don't see him again until the next Sunday. Sounds like a fan. Lukewarm. Jesus wants everything. All of you. Everything you've got. 24/7. Everything. Not just a piece, not just one part of your life, your whole life. And I'll say that if you give your whole life to him, your life's going to be better. It's going to be more meaningful because that was your purpose in the beginning, was to be his. It is an all or nothing attitude that we need to have. And that's what we need to strive for. We need to make sure that we take our mask off and we be who we are. Not put our mask on when we leave this place, because each and every one of you are a chosen by God servant of his to do his work. I want to turn, I got a few more verses here I wanted to tell you, because I firmly believe that when God speaks, it's a whole lot better than what Jeff speaks. John chapter 5, I'm going to look at verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is the love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, that he has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the love of God, to obey his commands. He wants every bit of you, 24/7. He wants that intimate relationship with you 24/7. It's important. It's important. Because if he doesn't get every bit of you, the Bible also talks about those things too. So if he has you, Matthew chapter 25 is referring to the sheep and the goats. Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to start with verse 34. To the sheep which are on his right, he says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." You will inherit the kingdom of God. He wants every bit of you. He wants everything that you have, because it was already his in the beginning. Everything. Totally. That's the relationship that Christ is wanting. That's what wraps up everything from the beginning that we've been in this book, to be a follower and not a fan. Yes, are we going to make mistakes? Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. But we should be striving daily not to make those mistakes, to put Christ first in each and every one of our actions. It goes on to say this, "I tell you the truth. Whatever one you did for one of the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did for me." But then he said to the ones on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. And I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." And of course they answered, they didn't have any clue. "Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, or a stranger needing clothes, or sick and in prison, and did not help you?" And he replied, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for, or you did not do for the least of these, you did not do it for me." God wants all of you, every second of the day, every hour of the day. So we entered into this book, and we've been reading it. Trevor's been preaching over it. Are you a fan or a follower? Do you have that relationship where it's all or nothing? The all or nothing relationship. Some of us, we might not be there yet. Some of us, we might be working toward that. And that is great. But God wants all of you, and he wants it now. Now. He wants that decision now. He doesn't want you to wait another day. I look around this room and I see talent beyond imagine. God wants it. God wants it. It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're in a school system, where you're on a construction site, whether you're just helping take care of grandkids. God wants you doing all or nothing for him. He wants all. So we're going to have a time of invitation. And maybe you need to make that decision where it's all today. It's all. Because Christ wants all, right? In this time where we sing, it's a great time for you to step up out of that seat and come forward and give it all to Christ. To make that decision in which you actually come forth and make a commitment. God wants committed followers. He wants all of you. Or remember, it will be nothing.
There's a wrestling in my heart and my mind, a disturbance and a tension I cannot seem to drive. And if I'm honest, there's quite a bit of fear. to sit here in this silence and really hear you. What will you ask of me? Will I listen to your voice when you speak? Help me to move. Help me to see. Sometimes they are not, and that leaves us torn inside. And in the middle, we are left to wonder who we are, what you want, and where we're going. Oh, such a mystery. I don't always understand.
To go, God, help me to stay.
I'm feeling so alone here, and I know that you're faithful, but I can barely breathe. God, help me. I don't know the future. It's one day at a time, but I know I'll be okay with your hand holding mine. So take all my resistance. Oh God, I need your grace. One step and then the other. Show me the way.
Help me to move. Help me to see. Help me to do whatever you would ask of me. Help me to go. God, help me to stay.